Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. We seek to lift up Jesus, who brings light into a darkened world. Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning and welcome to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. My name is Lane Lohman, the director and producer of the program, a program that has been on the air since 1937, started by my father, the late Dr. J. Harold Lohman. Well, last week, I started a message titled The Army of God, preached in Sedona, Arizona in the month of September. I started telling a story about an interesting encounter that I had on my way to a revival meeting. I'm going to pick up on that story again and continue with the sermon, and I hope you enjoy it. Don't forget to pray for me as I am involved in revival meetings on this weekend, October 15 through the 18th. I'm going to be in revival services, or I am in revival services, at Chester, West Virginia at the Church of the Nazarene. Then October the 22nd, I'm going to be in services at the Sharpsburg, Georgia Church of the Nazarene. That's just Sunday only, October 22nd. And then October 29 to November the 1st, I'll travel to Mattoon, Illinois, to the Eastside Church of the Nazarene. And that will finish out the month of October. Holidays are fast approaching, aren't they? So thank you again for praying for me as I travel. Pray for traveling mercies, good health, and for God's fresh anointing upon the revival services. It will mean so much. As always, I need to remind our listening audience, for those who may not have heard the program and may have just happened on the program, that we have always been a listener-supported radio ministry, and we need your help. If the Lord lays it upon your heart, would you send us a gift so that we can stay on this radio station? We're completely listener-supported. We do not have any commercial sponsors. So if you would do that, it would mean so much. And you can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or if you are technologically savvy, you can go to the internet, to lomanministries.org, and you can give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. The instructions are on the website. So thanks again for considering that. It will mean so much. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this radio station that airs the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I thank you for the folks who listen, for those who support us. We couldn't be on the program today were it not for those who do faithfully stand by. Raise up new supporters, I pray, to take the place of those who've gone on to be with you. Now bless the program and the sermon and the song. I ask in Jesus' name, amen.
I was in a revival meeting in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, about an hour and a half away from Nashville. And so that particular Saturday night, I decided that I'm going to drive my Alpha down to the revival meeting. Beautiful, beautiful day. Sun was out. Temperatures were just right for convertible driving. And I got my car out, and I started toward Lawrenceburg, Tennessee. And I had to stop on my way at Columbia, Tennessee, and I got gasoline there. I pulled up there to the gas pump, and I remember pumping the gas, and I started toward the door of the little store there where I would pay for my gas. And as I came to the door, an attractive young lady held the door open for me. And I said, "Thank you." She said, "You're welcome." I went and paid for my gas, went back out to the car, looked at the windshield, and It was that time of the year when bugs would hit the windshield, so I decided that I was going to clean the windshield. So I cleaned the driver's side first and walked around, and I'm cleaning the passenger side of that windshield, and I'm just cleaning it off, and I happen to look up, and there's that young lady with another young lady, and then a third young lady sitting behind the steering wheel of their car, and the young lady standing in front of the car, she waved at me, and I waved back. I thought maybe she knew me. I'd held revival meetings in that town. I thought she probably was at the revival. And she said, "Hi." I said, "Hello." And then she said, "Why don't you go with us tonight?" I said, "Where are you going?" "Well, we're going over here to the Pavilion Amphitheater to a Hank Williams Jr. concert." And then I retorted and I said, "Why don't you go with me?" She said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to preach in a revival meeting down in Lawrenceburg." Conversation was over right then and there. Didn't go any further beyond that. As a matter of fact, the two young ladies standing outside the car, they disappeared back inside the store. I walked up to the car, and the young lady behind the steering wheel, she was just sitting there. She didn't say anything before. And I said, "Are you the designated driver?" She said, "Yes." She said, I have a brother or a relative. I don't remember if it's a brother or an uncle or an aunt. But she said, "I have a relative that's a missionary." I said, "Really?" We talked a little bit. I got the feeling she would rather gone with me to the revival meeting than to hear Hank Williams Jr. in concert. See, I believe the world's hungry. And we need to understand that they are hungry and take every advantage that's given to us for sharing the love of Jesus Christ to perfect strangers, to family members. I mean, after all, I've had people tell me this a lot. That if I become too forward in my witness for Jesus Christ to family members, it'll turn them off. Listen, friend, they're not going to be any more lost than what they are right now. And if you share Jesus Christ with them, you might plant a seed while they may reject you in that moment in time. You might plant a seed that in the end will bring fruit, because the Holy Spirit will take that and he will begin to germinate that seed in their heart and their life and maybe bring them to a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's not fool ourselves tonight. We must realize and know that we can't be coming here in this wonderful sanctuary. For some it's too cool, and for others it's not cool enough. We can't be coming here week after week and think that we're doing the works of ministry, because we come. We've got to know that the world is hungry. Saw this not too long ago, and I added it to the sermon just today. It's a concerned pastor. He wrote this letter. He wrote it to the church in America, and this is what he said. "We wanted to change the world. We missed it bad. If we're going to change the world, we won't do it by breaking and entering and vandalism. Not at a Target store nor the U.S. Capitol. We won't do it by wrapping ourselves in a flag as our badge of honor. We won't do it by incessantly criticizing the media and complaining about their coverage. We won't do it by arguing with, shouting at, demeaning, mocking, or unfriending those with whom we disagree. We won't do it by gorging ourselves on cable news, blogs, and other websites with which we agree. We won't do it by spreading rumors, conspiracies, and falsehoods because we want them to be true, or by assuming that since they support our ideology, they have to be true. We won't do it by casting a ballot, wearing apparel, or sharing posts on Facebook. In short, we won't do it through a man-made mechanism, a political party, a social media, or our support of a man or a man-made idea. A large segment of the church has been trying this way to do it this way for years. But look around. It's not working. We've sown to the wind, according to Hosea, and now we're reaping the whirlwind. This group of men that gathered to make David king at Ziklag, they understood the times. If we're going to be an effective member of the army of God, going forward in battle, then we're going to have to be prepared. We're going to have to be prepared with every type of whipping, and we're going to have to be experienced. Again, notice the passage. It says in verse 33 of chapter 12, they were experienced soldiers prepared for battle with every type of weapon to help David with undivided loyalty. Those are huge words. We must learn to use the spiritual weaponry at our disposal. And I believe tonight the greatest weapon that we have is prayer. Somebody said that faith and prayer are the two most threadbare subjects in Christian discourse. We talk about prayer, but nobody prays. We talk about faith, but nobody has any. Well, I think that particular statement is a bit overstated. I do know people who pray. And I do know people who have exercised that measure of faith that God has given to each and every one of us. But we've got to be willing to pray and activate our prayer life to such a degree that it bombards, as my dad used to say, it bombards the throne room of God. We need to get hold of the horns of the altar. That's an old-fashioned term. We need to grab hold of God and say, oh God, this is the burden, this is the need of the air, of the time, of the day. I come from a Methodist background. My father was reared in Caraway Memorial Methodist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. And a great Methodist evangelist by the name of Dr. John R. Church came and held a revival meeting at my father's church. And I heard Dr. Church, or maybe I read it in one of his books, he told the story of a revival meeting that he was holding there at Caraway Memorial Methodist Church. And he said the meeting was really tight, hard to preach. We weren't seeing many victories around the altar. And he said, so this particular night, I called the praying people to come up around the front of the church and pray that God would break Satan's hold on that revival meeting. And he said, we began to pray. And he said, I noticed off to the side, there was an old mother in Israel, an elderly saint of God. And she was kneeling over here to the side. She'd gotten down on both knees and she had thrown her head back and she began to pray. And Dr. Church said, I wanted to hear what this woman had to say. He said, I hadn't seen somebody pray like that woman was praying in quite a long time. He said, I got over and down in front of her and she began to pray. She began to call on God. She began to talk about the promises of God. He said she mentioned promises from the Word of God that he had forgotten about. And he said, if it could be done, she literally backed God into a corner and said, God, you promised that you'd save all of my children. And all of my children are saved tonight except my one son. I don't know where he's at, but you know where he's at. And I'm praying that you'd get hold of my son's heart wherever he is and make him so miserable that he'll turn to you. And he said she prayed and sought the face of God, and God bore witness in her spirit that God had found her boy, and she began to rejoice around the front of that church. It broke Satan's hold on that revival, and he said we had an incredible revival service that night. He said, several months passed. I came back to the Greensboro area to another church, and one night in the door walked that dear lady. And on her arm was a handsome young man. Said they walked down the center aisle, didn't take a seat back in the sanctuary, but walked up on the platform and approached me and said, she said, Dr. Church, do you remember me? He said, ma'am, I'll never forget you. She said, you remember that prayer I prayed that night at Caraway Memorial Methodist Church? Pray that God would find my son? She said, we compared notes, and that night, God found my son in a bar in Asheville, North Carolina. And God let that son of mine become so sick, he thought he was going to die standing there in that bar. And he began to cry out to God, God, if you'll not let me die, if you'll let me get out of this bar, I promise I'll turn my life over to you. She said he did exactly what he promised God, got saved, got sanctified. God called him to preach, and he's pastoring a few little Methodist churches up here in the mountains of North Carolina. He said she had another shouting spell right there at the front of the church before we ever started the meeting. People who know how to pray can get things done. People who know how to pray, God will move on their behalf. We've got to be willing to pray. There is nothing outside the reach of prayer unless it's outside the will of God. Remember that. We need men, women, young people, children who are willing to pray. Pray for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Pray that God will come against the power of the enemy, the influences of wickedness that are all around us. We need to be bold in our praying. It's okay to be bold in your praying. One of my mentors was pastoring a church, and one day he said one of the members of his church, a mother, said, "I need to see you, Pastor," and came to his office. And she began to unravel a horrible scenario about her son. And she said, "Pastor, my son, my scholar athlete son, has dropped out of school. He tells me he's fallen in love with an older woman. He's moved in with her into a trailer outside here on the edge of town." She said, "I'm at my wit's end. I don't know what I'm going to do. He's throwing away his life. He's given up a scholarship at a college. What am I going to do, Pastor?" And my friend said, "All we can do is pray. So let's pray." And he said, "We're going to be specific in our praying." He said, "We're going to begin to pray against that relationship. We're going to pray that God will do everything that he can to break up that relationship. We're going to pray that God will make them argue. We're going to pray that they won't be able to get along. We're going to pray that for one it'll be too cold in the trailer and too hot for the other in the trailer at the same time. We're going to pray that they'll disagree over what they're going to have for meals. We're going to pray their sex will be bad. We're going to pray that everything that could go wrong in that relationship will go wrong." And he said, she looked at me and said, "Well, Pastor, that doesn't sound very Christian." He said, "Christian woman, we're talking about your boy." And she said, "Well, let's just go for it." And they began to pray just like that. 3 weeks later, he said she came to the door when there was a knock on that door, opened the door, and there stood her son, suitcases in hand. And he said, "Mother, I'm come home. I don't know what happened. I just knew this was right. I was in love with her and she was in love with me. But about 3 weeks ago, this thing began to fall apart at the seams and we just couldn't live together any longer. Mom, you know what might have happened?" She looked at him, threw her arms around his neck and said, "Satan, you've lost. God, we've won." Because they prayed. We need people who know how to pray and call on God. We need people who know how to study the word. "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God." They were armed, it says, with bows and arrows, able to shoot arrows or sling stones, right-handed or left-handed. We've got ambidextrous warriors of the faith here. Experienced. We need people who not only know how to pray and use the spiritual weaponry at our disposal, we need people who are experienced. God forbid any of us who've been serving the Lord for any length of time would take the attitude, "Well, I've done my time." God forbid that anybody say, "Well, I'm too old." You know how you become experienced in the kingdom? Doing the little things. Doing the little things. You perhaps have heard the story of John Logan Bringle, one of the great saints of God in the Salvation Army. God laid it upon his heart to go to England to preach for the great General Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. And when he arrived there, he announced to General Booth that he had come to preach for him and hold revival meetings for him. And Booth said to Bringle, he said, "I've heard about you." He said, "Here's what I want you to do." He sent him to a little outpost and told the head of that particular Salvation Army outpost to have Bringle polish the shoes of those men at that outpost. Bringle said, "I've not come to polish boots. I've come to preach the word of God." But there in the dim-lit basement of that outpost, God broke the pride of John Logan Bringle. And he came out of that basement, shoe polish under his fingernails, but humble before God, and went on to become one of the great preachers in the Salvation Army. You become experienced by willing to work when the need presents itself. Servant mentality. Friend of mine said, God cannot use you in doing those things which are big until you're willing to humble yourself and do those things which are small.
Our time has come and gone for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I do hope you'll take a few minutes to write us that letter of support so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201, or go to our website, lomanministries.org, and you can give through the PayPal tab or the Venmo tab on the website. I do hope you'll find a place to worship this weekend. In the state of Illinois, I know you would be welcome at the Church of the Nazarene in Murfreesboro and Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And in the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point and Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, along with Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Flintwood Wesleyan Church, and Columbus Free Methodist Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.